So how is the water control system along the Mississippi, including purposeful flooding by the Army Corps of Engineers, working? We've asked John Barry Beck. He's author of Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America. He's also actively involved in making decisions about flooding in his area as vice president of the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East. And John, where does that place you? Where are you?
I'm in New Orleans, and that is a kind of complicated name for the levee board in most of metropolitan New Orleans.
Okay. So you're one of many people watching upriver as this water approaches. But before we talk about how you feel the system's working, let's go back and explain what the system is. You reminded us how everything changed after that great flood of 1927, that the system was all levees, these built-up berms of land. They were breached by the floods. So how were things changed after that?
First, the Corps recognized that you had to allow the river room to spread out. In this flood, with everything working perfectly, there will still be somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 square miles underwater.
And that's by plan?
That is by design, because they recognized they could not hold the river within levees. That is only one of the elements of the new system. There are cutoffs, which are a little bit technical to describe, but they actually just speed up the river by straightening it. And that lowered the floodplain by 15 feet initially, although the rivers regained some of that. In the area of Greenville, Mississippi, and Arkansas City, which is exactly where the crest is right now. So levees would have had to have been in much, much higher to hold the same amount of water.
Yeah.
They also have reservoirs on tributaries to keep water out of the main river.
And in addition, you mentioned that levees might not have helped in these areas of the river that were straightened out to get water through more quickly. But stronger levees were built after 1927.
Right. The levees on the lower Mississippi River are the best in the United States. They're built to a much higher standard than most of the levees.
Because, and now we're going to get into another tricky area, because at a certain point the government said that levees could be built to withstand 100-year floods. But
right, which sounds like a great standard. However, it's Orwellian terminology. What it means is a flood with a 1% chance of occurring in any particular given year. But over a length of time, of course, the odds change. And in the average person's lifetime, there is a 56% chance that they will see a flood greater than a 100-year flood. And there's a roughly 20% chance they would see two floods in their lifetime greater than a 100-year flood. So that is really by far the worst standard in the developed world. And it came about as a political compromise.
So we have levees that are not as good quality as many of those that were built after 1927
because of that. Right now, where the crest is right now, near Greenville, Mississippi, Arkansas City, Arkansas, this flood right now is 3.5 feet higher than a 100-year flood.
Right.
And if you had 3.5 feet of water going over the top of the levee, I can guarantee you some of those levees would breach, and then you would have a massive flooding event that would probably let more water out of the river than they're sending down Bonnie Carey, Spillway, and Morganza combined. You would have hundreds of thousands and maybe in excess of millions of people flooded.
Which is why some of these spillways are being opened, because the levees couldn't possibly hold this water in.
Even these new higher, it's not just height, it's also a width and other things to make them stronger. That's correct.
So how do you think the system of spillways is working? As we mentioned, the Morganza, the Army Corps of Engineers has been carefully opening several of the bays, not all 125, diverting about 90,000 cubic feet of water per second. How do you think that's working?
I think it's working exactly as designed. And as I say, even with that, you're still going to see somewhere between 5 and 7,000 square miles underwater. It's designed to give the river room to spread out. Let me give you a sense of just how much that water that is.
Yeah.
A single cubic foot of water a second flowing for one day will cover 2 acres with 1 foot of water. So right now at its peak, that could cover 4.6 million acres 1 foot deep in a day. And unlike a hurricane storm surge, which lasts for a period of hours and then goes away, that crest is going to continue to flow for weeks.
And as you are downriver watching, what are you looking at? What are you? How are you calculating what you might have to do?
Well, the reality is New Orleans is the safest spot on the river because of those spillways, which divert water away from it. That does not mean that we take anything for granted. One of the reasons the system works is that levee districts everywhere on the river recognize the power of that force and inspect constantly. There will be weak spots developing right in the French Quarter. As a matter of fact, it's not a weak spot, but there's seepage of water coming through. And the Orleans levee district has 144 floodgates. If the river got above where it is now, which is in New Orleans just about 17 feet, which is flood stage, then we would start closing a lot of gates. Anyone who's been to New Orleans, in Jackson Square, you walk out to, which is where Bush gave his post-Katrina speech, mm-hmm. You know, that's right on the river. As you walk out onto the river to this tourist area, you walk through a flood wall with gates. And those are the gates that we're talking about closing.
It keeps the water from coming into the area.
Into the city, yes.
Yeah. What else, what other kinds of emergency plans do you have to be thinking about right now?
Well, it's 99% monitoring and making sure that we have sandbags deployed or other things if we need them. The water will be passing through New Orleans at this level for at least 2 weeks and probably longer. A danger, if the river drops rapidly, then you have the possibility that part of your levee will slough off. If another flood crest came down the river against a levee that was weakened like that, that could be a serious problem.
John Berry, one last question. Again, your book is Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America, and you write in incredible ways in which it changed America. It helped spur the great African-American migration out of the South. It got Herbert Hoover elected. He was Secretary of Commerce and managed the aftermath of those floods, did such a good job. He was elected president and, as you said, completely changed flood control policy. Also changed Americans' thinking about the role of government. This is the first time Americans decided government has a role in providing a safety net for people and helping people.
Yeah, I think so. There were almost 1% of the entire population in the United States was flooded in 1927.
Well, but here we are today. What do you think the impact of this flooding will be?
This one, I don't frankly think anything will happen. I think that the flood protection system on the lower Mississippi River is an excellent, excellent system. I think water management in the United States is very, very poorly executed. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I might give it a 1. And I would hope that the conversation shifts to just general water management, water resources.
Where people live, should they live in the spillway? Should we?
And address that question about 100-year protection, because that standard would not hold this flood. Yeah. It would be probably worse than Katrina. That's a conversation that needs to start.
John Berry, again, his book, Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America. He's also part of the authority in the New Orleans area that decides how to manage these Mississippi waters as they come to that area. He's vice president of the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East. John, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.